Sardi for change orders for work that hasn't been completed yet or done, started yet?
The contractor gets a percentage of the subcontract. So whatever the basic construction is, the contractor gets a percentage of that.
So if we make change orders, it doesn't necessarily increase the cost?
Yes, it does. So in other words, for $12 million, so Sardi, the contractor, will get a percentage of that $12 million.
Well, Michael, are you asking if there's a specific change order fee just to cover
the change order? Well, I heard at some point, and I'd like to get confirmed or corrected, that there was a 20%
change order fee.
Change order fee.
From whom?
There is a basic formula for change orders, okay. And that involves overhead and profit, bond costs, and that can add up to that 20%, but that isn't what Lusardi receives. Mm-hmm. On the overall project, they have a fee, and so any increase in cost, their fee goes up with that. Any decrease in cost, their fee goes down.
Okay, so it is a bit cost plus in a way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, which is it's somewhat common when you do a low bid, they will get their cost for the subcontractor, and then their profit is based on the subcontractor cost. So the bonds are the bonds. Whatever the bond company costs, charges for that particular cost, and it's usually based on the contract, it's going to drive that figure. We have a built-in contingency in here of $3.8 million for unforeseen things within the contract, the construction process. The deal is whatever's not spent, we get 80%, the contractor gets 20%. So it's an incentive for them not to just, go ahead and spend it. Even though they get a percentage of the whole $380 million, their incentive is better to save it, and then we get money back on it. What do you think? We've spent about maybe half of it?
We have about 1.8 left, so we have about $2 million that we've spent of that contingency, construction contingency.
And it doesn't mean we paid them to date or it's a part of that 50%. It's just we know it's coming. It's a part of the contract cost.
Yeah. And you'll see in the budget report that right now our construction contingency is about $1.3 million.
That's our money.
Our money.
We want to add something or subtract, that's our money, not the just general construction costs. So anything else on the budget part of it?
Just some important dates that are coming up, like in August when they come back in school, what's going to be open to the students?
That's what she's going to discuss in her presentation.
Okay.
This is just the money part.
Okay.
So I'll move through that so we can get on to her presentation. And I don't want to, I'll just give you this. This is something I added on the technology. Just read it. I don't have a presentation on it. Just give you a little update on where we are in that study. We've hired contractors to see what we have, what we need. Now our next process is to hire the engineer guy to look at this and see what we need to do and whether we need to hire an architect at that school to fix that building or not, or whatever widgets they need to do. So read that, and we can discuss this at our next meeting. So Kathy, San Marcos High School. Yes.
Was the $240 million authorized? I think you said 215.
287 is what was offered.
Yes.
287 is authorized.
Yes. About 207 million and change has been issued. So there's still about 80 million authorized but unissued.
And those are current interest or cash?
The yet to be issued, it will be decided when they're issued. What they're going to be issued as.
They're not designated.
They're not designated until, because you don't know what the economic circumstance is going to be or the environment is when you go to issue.
Or whether we can even afford them. You know, if we don't have the tax base to pay for them, then we wouldn't sell them. They may have to wait 15 years. Who knows?
Prop 39 has tax projection limitations, and at the time we issued the second series of bonds, we were pretty much at the maximum where we could be. So Gary's right, it may be a significant number of years before the next series of bonds.
And they're looking at changing the legislation,
as
you probably know, and that would even change that, restrict it even more on what we can do. So it may push out the date for the next 80 million quite a ways out.
So we've got 207 million authorized.
No,
issued. And 180 million
for that project,
mm-hmm. which leaves 27 million at the present time. Mm-hmm. Plus whatever new bonds we sell, issue, mm-hmm. if we can issue them.
That's correct. And any interest earned.
which isn't unfortunately a lot of money. By the way, one of the reasons that Gary was saying the interest earnings is so low is governmental agencies are severely restricted in what they can invest their funds in.
Right.
Generally, very conservative investments. In this interest rate environment, those conservative investments, if you can make 1%, you're smoking. Oh. You're just steaming.
And I haven't seen that. So
some of the longer term pools can get close to 1%. But here, where you know you're going to be drawing down the money within the near term future, you just can't lock it up for a long period of time.
If we knew we weren't going to use it, we could work with the Treasury and say, okay, here's $20 million we're not going to use. Go out in 3 years or 5 years. He takes the whole pool and he goes, okay, I need this much. This is going to be, 30-day investment, 90-day, 370 days, whatever. That's him and his. I don't even get involved in that. And he has a committee that does that. Yeah. That's his expertise, it's not mine.
And nasty bond council wants you to spend the money.
He's dealing with the IRS. They would like you to spend it within 3 years if you can. They don't want, in the old days when we made 5%, they didn't want a government agency selling bonds and just investing it and sitting on it, because that means somebody's getting interest that's non-taxable when they want you to go out and get taxable interest. So, we're not making our, we're not even close to arbitrage. That's the profit that you can make. We're not, well, haven't seen that in probably 8-9 years, maybe.
I think some of our clients were still making arbitrage maybe in 2006, 2007.
Yeah, not me.
At the low interest rates on the short-term borrowings.
Yeah.
Now, the form of bonds and issuance, is that a staff decision, or does that go before the board?
It's a combination. The board authorizes what can be issued. The financial advisor, the underwriter, and the bond finance team, together with the district staff and the superintendent, make the final decision of this is the structure of what we're going to do. But in both cases, those projected structures were presented to the governing board.
Board has that, can say yes or no.
Okay, they do have the oversight.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yes.
The final say.
Yes. The amount of paperwork is that thick.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's unbelievable. And then he makes me sign my name, 12 times? On each one. I can recognize my name by the time we're done with that.
This goes in a way back to Tom's point earlier. And I think, for the next series of bonds, whenever it is, I think just because there's been so much misinformation, the financial advisor will be well advised to be sure that they're providing full, transparent analysis. Mm-hmm. If they're going to be including CABs in that, be sure that the board understands that and how it fits in.
We've learned a lot. We've all, up and down the state, across the nation, learned a lot. So,
and I think the standards today for municipal financial advisors is more stringent, too. Yeah. I think now they have a fiduciary responsibility.
They've always had a fiduciary responsibility, but now they have to register with the federal government. But they always sit on the district side of the table as opposed to the underwriter, which sits on the other side.
Yeah. So we do our best to inform the board that it can be really complicated. Not something I do every day. I've had colleagues that work 30 years that have never sold a GO bond in their life, just because their district never grew or whatever. But the board has learned, everybody's learned a lot about this, so they'll ask more questions, but we'll be given a limited opportunity, and we either take it or we don't.
Is there any restrictions right now on selling the last of the bonds?
Actually, there's the significant restriction, which I discussed a few minutes ago, is the tax projection.
Okay.
You cannot sell the bonds unless you can project you will stay under the statutory projection limit. So even if the district wanted to issue more bonds right now, they couldn't. So they're limited by proposition.
Well, we could. We had a window.
Yeah.
See, our promise was $44 per 100,000 of assessed. We can legally go 60. But see, that's our cushion. In my position, that's my cushion. Now, you could go beyond 60, but not intentionally. I mean, if something's weird happens.
As long as you do a reasonable projection and AVs crash, and some districts out in Riverside County, they did this, they projected in 2004 and 2005 based on what, at that point in time, it was a ski ramp for AV growth. And some people used overly aggressive projections. Our firm was not one of them. But they did overly aggressive projections. And what happened is you issued them in 2004, 2005. Next couple of years, everything's hunky-dory. Then 2008 hits you like a wall. and in some places it needs dipped by double digits, and the tax has, you know, you have to levy enough tax, you can't default on the bonds, so the tax went up over the legal limit. And in those cases, those districts are kind of stuck now waiting for the AB to catch back up to be able to ever issue bonds again. And in some of those districts, some of which, you know, are now our clients that weren't then, they're stuck for a long period of time before they can legally issue any other bonds.
And you could have a freakish thing happen. You know, we in our Southern California fires, you could have 700 homes go up in flames. They stop paying taxes for 3 years. Well, the other homes have to make up for it, you know, unfortunately.
We did actually, we actually had that happen up in the Santa Clarita Valley where they had the big fires back in 2001, 2002, where so many homes burned, there was a risk of not being, and the legislature basically gave everybody a pass. They said, you can delay your tax payments for a year. Well, that put a lot of districts in a very bad situation because they didn't have any revenue coming in to pay their bonds, so they all had to go raid their reserve funds. And in fact, you know, start looking at, well, how else are we going to do that? Eventually, the law got back up, and none of our clients defaulted. But there were some very nervy moments there for about 6 months. Are we going to be able to? Are we going to default on our bonds? Because once a district defaults on its bonds, you're not issuing debt anytime soon. That's just poison on the market. You know, Gene can probably tell you that's just poison in the marketplace.
And we try to be conservative, you know, and that's what our board's trying to be, is conservative.
There was some newspaper article saying that property values went up 19% or something.
Where?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. What are we seeing right now in San Marcos?
I don't know, but you've read in the paper that over the past couple of years it's come back by 14% or 15%, but that's from dipping quite, not back to original amount and above, but coming back on many of the
homes. So that figure may be several years accumulation.
It's several years of comeback is what it was, not going over the original. Like if you bought your home at 800,000 and it dropped down to 600,000, you've gone 14% from the 600 back up towards the 800, but or 15.
But it, regardless of that, you don't foresee any more bonds being able to be sold.
I don't say that. I'm not saying that. We have. We could.
Future.
We could. I'm just saying. When we talked about a third series, there we left a window. But if this law changed that window, we'd have to wait to get that window, catch back up that window, because it was past 25 years. And it's caps, is what it is. You know. And so you're waiting until, you're not, it's, caps are just like SIBs. In other words, you have an interest and you pay the actual loan. If you look at like a house loan, you're not paying a piece of the house loan along the way, you're paying the whole amount at the end of what, it could be a 12-year note, a 13-year note, a 40-year note. But in this case, you're not paying interest along the way. You're paying at the end, plus it's you're paying interest on the interest. It's accumulation. So that's the difference in a cab versus a SIB. And we'll talk a little bit about this at one of our other meetings when we have a little more time. I'll show you, because I know some of our discussion about don't use 30-year money for computers, but not all the bonds are 30 years. Some are 1 year. Some are 2 years. Some are 3 years. Because you sell them in $5,000 increments. You know, like you and I could buy one for $5,000, and some are 1 year at a very low interest rate, and some are 10 years, some are 30 years. So again, Kathy, I want to turn it over to Kathy so she can start talking about San Marcos High School project.
Thank you. Unfortunately, our computer went out, and so we tried a couple different backup possibilities to be able to have this PowerPoint for you, but unfortunately,
so is that in the budget too?
So what we'll do is put this on the web on the committee's website. I don't know if we can send it or not because it's a really large file. We'll go ahead and try and
we'll
send
try.
It, but we'll also get it on the website probably by Friday or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you'll be able to look through it. Basically, all buildings except for what we call Building G are under construction at this time. Building G is between the varsity baseball field and the track and football field, and that building is going to be for restrooms for the visitor side. It's going to have a concession area, and then it'll also have storage. We have a lot of storage needs for the various athletic activities on these fields. And that building will be constructed, we'll start that after school is out this summer. As far as the main buildings go, the main classroom building, which is a three-story building, which you see from San Marcos Boulevard and Rancho Santa Fe, both the west and north part of that building, which is three-story, has been constructed and the roof is on. We are now building on the interior spaces. So on the west wing, the library is formed out. We're putting in drywall, the computer lab, the dining room, and the kitchen area is all moving forward very quickly. Second floor, we framed out rooms. We're starting the drywall in that area. Third floor doesn't have the framing and drywall yet because that was more recently completed. All the floors in that wing have completed the polished concrete. And the corner, which looks a little funny up until today, because it just looked like a concrete cube going up. Well, the steel now is forming around there, so you can start seeing the floors and how the classrooms will fit around that center concrete. And what that is basically your elevator shafts and other spaces, mechanical, what have you. So that is moving along very well. At the back of the school is where we have our central plant and our maintenance and custodial area. And those buildings are very close to completion, and maintenance and custodial can start moving in May if they want. Because we have cabinetry in, restrooms are in, all the interior facilities are very close to being completed. The next building across is the one-story building that we have, which will have our wood shop and has the ag program, computer labs in there for engineering, drafting, what have you. That building is reaching completion also. By middle of June, after school is out, we'll be moving the wood shop into that building and setting up the computer labs because we are going to move all of the students into that building, all the classroom educational functions starting August 1st. So the site, as far as moving, we'll be able to move in come mid-June. Everything will be moved in and ready for the teachers to start setting up their programs come August 1st, and then school, of course, starts about 2.5 weeks later. So we do not have any concerns about having the buildings ready for the student use. The gymnasium, we just finished putting the wood floor down in the basketball area. Prior to putting that wood floor down, we tried to get everything we could done that would be above this floor. The lights, the scoreboards, your communication system, the painting, whatever needed to be done above that area, we have gotten that in except for one item. So we don't have to bring heavy equipment, scissor lifts in over this brand new floor to install these items. So we got that all done. So we felt really good when that happened. We are now in the process of installing the bleachers in the basketball area so that we'll have bleachers that will fold out over the two end basketball courts. So you'd have your one center court for your varsity games or any type of program that you may want to do. We can get most all the students in this gymnasium once we pull all the bleachers out. So that's being set up now. We're putting the wood floors in, the wrestling rooms, cheer, and the dance areas. So that interior space is moving along. Again, it will be ready for the students and for our school district to start moving in weight equipment and any other equipment that needs to be moved into that building. The stadium, we have torn out and replaced all of the home side bleachers that were concrete. We've replaced them with concrete, and those will be ready for graduation. What will not be ready for graduation will be concession stands that are right up at the top of the bleachers. The press box is constructed, and the rest of these areas are now going to be finished, probably by the end of June. But we will have porta potties and things like this. Everybody will be taken care of. It will be safed off, so it will be a good high school graduation. The theater building is the last building that will be completed. It's a very complex building. It's a challenge to build, and we will be pushing really hard to have that ready for when we move all of the students into the rest of these buildings come January 2014. So what we call Building A, or the classroom, administrative building, library, kitchen, what have you, will be moved into January 1, well, right when school starts in January 2014. And the theater building will also be ready. We're focusing in on the classroom areas so that if we're not able to meet it in any way, it would be the theater that would come last because the classrooms have to come first. We still feel we can do it, but you never know what's going to happen with Mother Nature along the way or any other potential issues. With the kids coming to the school this summer, that means they'll be moving out of some of the relocatables that we have on the campus. So basically all the relocatables on the lower area, just before you go up the stairs to the administration, they will be pulled off this summer, and we'll be saving about 5 months in lease payments on these buildings since we've been able to release them because the students now have permanent classrooms to go into. So we're looking at that to, again, help out the budget. We're looking at every way we can to save money on the project and bring it in on budget.
So that 5 months cost saving, is that built into the budget yet, or that's expected?
It's not in it. Okay. Yeah. So that's just something that we will be able to hopefully have money to pass on to Gary and to the committee to use on the technology project or other projects in the district. When we open in January 2014, the parking will stay the same as it is today because we will still need to go back in and remove all of the relocatables, and we'll need to construct the fields and the tennis courts. And so that at that point, we'll be using that front parking lot to move equipment, buildings, what have you, in and out. We are looking at having handicap parking, though, available in this upper area. That's one of the goals that we're working
towards.
How many
parking spaces will that be total available?
What's at that particular time?
Yes.
Well, it's the same as what we have now, which is there's over 350 spaces down at the Pacific parking lot, at the San Marcos parking lot. It's around 70 parking places.
So in other words, the parking that's coming, it won't be available until we can move all of the construction equipment off.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she's trying to say. The actual permanent parking won't be available until what, August?
Until August 2014.
And that would be how many units?
It's over 500. I don't remember the exact number.
Like 560 or something like that is our goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, San Marcos is increasing the width of San Marcos Boulevard.
Yes.
On the north.
So we hear. Yeah.
At some point in time,
that's
when
coming
they
soon. Mm-hmm. That's coming a lot sooner than they think. Now, if they're going from about 84 foot right away now to, I think, 176 feet, plus increased setbacks on top of that, I suppose that they would be very loath to impact your school. So that would just about wipe out all the businesses and buildings on the north side of San Marcos Boulevard. Now, has the city been telling you what their plans are and what they're going to do in the future?
Yes, we have sat down with them to find out what they're planning to do, because we had heard about this, and the plans that they have were not going to affect the curb line in front of San Marcos High School.
Okay, so it's all going to be the other side.
It's going to be on the other side, and that's that curb line until you get down to Discovery. And then they were going to cut it in a bit for a right turn lane. And we have made the modifications on our design so that when that point comes along, it won't affect us. I mean, the construction will go on, but it's not going to make a change in anything that we have done.
Except the pork chop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in other words, you got that goofy little turn on the Discovery,
yeah.
What they call them. They're adjusting that in the future to make it square it off like a typical, mm-hmm. You know, get rid of that little...
Isn't that county, some of that county?
I don't know, but that's what they're intending to do. And so we've already played for that. We have turning into the campus. They're expanding from one lane, left turn lane to two.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another right-hand turn lane in, which will help us out going into the property. So we work pretty hard with the city to mm-hmm. accomplish all this and work with the restrictions we have. And we still have the utility poles that have some effect on life down there. So
yeah.
How many parking spaces did we start out with before the project started?
I mean,
fewer than what we're going to have in the end.
That was about 400 maybe, somewhere in there.
In that area. And at one point when we had all the relocatables there because of the growth, we had cut our parking down in about in half.
Yeah.
That's when we had close to 3,000
In 2004, students. When we had our peak of about 3,000 kids, most of the parking lot had, or half of it had buildings in it, Portland buildings. So,
how many was that?
That was...
Maybe 250, 300.
200. Yeah. Well, what's the question, though? What your answer is, he's asking how many did the portables take up?
Okay, well, I was giving how many were available.
Okay.
And that was when you had 1,800 students?
No. When we had 3,000 kids on that campus in 2004, we had, for all the visitors, the workers, and the mm-hmm. kids, we probably had, 250 at max?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're shooting for somewhere, I think our last discussion, if we can get this party about 560 in there.
Okay.
So.
So we are on schedule. We're on budget. We're 50% through the construction. And most of your unknowns come when you're doing your grading and when you're digging footings and things like this. The only digging that we have left to do is on the west side of the campus where we're putting in a retaining wall. So each challenge that comes along, the team gets together, we resolve it and move forward.
That's on Rancho Santa Fe?
Yes. Well, it's not on that direction.
Yeah, sort of that. You know where the that gas station is there up on top of the hill?
Yeah.
It's whatever it's called.
A small place.
That would be the side. That side goes all the way down, straight down the property. Yeah. It would be parallel to Rancho Santa Fe almost in that corner. So the parking lot they'll push that hill back a little bit and put a retaining wall.
Yes.
The original hill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope you don't find any pottery.
Yes. Actually, there's a water pipe somewhere back there. So,
yeah,
that's not a cultural resource.
No, that's just a big water pipe.
Yeah, it appears, I guess, when they were building one of the freeways, some of the dirt was brought onto the campus. So even when we were grading the fields in the top 1.5-2 feet of soil, we were finding Indian pottery. In fact, some of the best finds were in the playfield. And that's where dirt had been brought in from another site where it was being excavated.
In the 60s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that's our presentation on the high school site. Like we said, we will offer you the opportunity to have a tour. We try to let you guys organize a time that would be best suited for you. Of course, it would have to be during the day, but we get you out there, get your hard hats, and the supervisor loves showing off that campus. So we can show you what we have to date. It's your opportunity to see the site, and it's a part of your, I guess, responsibilities when you think about it, and to get out there and see what we're doing. So that's up to you. I'll leave that up to you.
And we'd like to start around 3:30 or so because the construction workers are getting off then, and then you can see more. It's easier for you to get around the site. So if you could look at around 3:30, I'd be more than happy
to take
it out.
And wear your crummy clothes and shoes.
Yeah.
So Kathy, you'll send us some suggested dates for that?
If you like, I'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, to work into the schedule. So
mm-hmm.